Before I read from the prophet Ezekiel, a reminder about his audience. The destruction of Jerusalem is done. The date is 587 BC. The city is burned. The temple is destroyed. The people are ruined. The tragedy is complete, as Ezekiel speaks. Some in the city of Jerusalem, the most educated, the most powerful, had been exiled to the city of Babylon by the victorious army. Most, however, are left behind to their poor farms, to their day labors. They are overruled by the victorious Babylon. Ezekiel himself was exiled down to Babylon. But he traveled back to Jerusalem once or twice between the two cities, like a missionary. Now, in this reading, you will hear him speak several times of the shepherds. He is not referring to sheep herders. He's referring to leaders. To people who should have been shepherds of the nation, who should have taken care of the people, guarded over the least and the lost. He means Washington. He means Albany. He means Wall Street. He means all who are comfortable. He means you and me, perhaps. Listen, the oracle of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. And so they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, and no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed the sheep, therefore you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I am against the shepherds. And I will demand my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths so that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. The word of the Lord. But God, you can't do that by yourself. I know I'm not supposed to say that. One is not supposed to say that in the tradition. I know it's not how our hymns go. God merciful and mighty. God the mighty fortress. God our help in ages past. It's not the way our hymns go, but let our speech be simple. If God hates how leaders help themselves and hurt the people, if God hates how the healthy ignore the sick and leave them who have no resources to suffer and die young, if God hates how the rich mangle the economy and the welfare of millions but walk away in suits and high heels while the weak ones fail, if God is tired of the incompetent louts who rise to heights of power only to fall into the pits of their own voracious desire for power and more power. If God sees all these outrages and has a strong will to match, then wouldn't you expect God to fire the whole lot and say, on behalf of them whom God loves and grieves for, I will bring them out. I will feed them. I will seek the lost. I will bind the injured. I myself will be their shepherd. Wouldn't you expect that? But God, how are you going to do that? I mean, no disrespect, my Lord, but haven't you got a problem? Don't you need a body for that kind of work? Haven't you just shown your hand and it's low cards, no kings, no aces? You're going to be the shepherd of the sheep? You can't do that by yourself. You need a body. Now, someone may be thinking, well, Ezekiel means Jesus. Not so fast. The date is about 585 B.C., you know what BC stands for, right? Before Christ. Ezekiel is offering his word like that of a father and mother seeking to comfort. What parent, if the child waked in the night, would offer help in 600 years? I mean, you may not think much of the current administration, or you may be dreading the next one, but would you give 1 minute to a man on a soapbox saying that good government is just around the corner for your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren? Ezekiel is not talking about Jesus. He is breaking his religion into pieces so that something new can come forth. He is saying, we had God wrong. We had God shut up in heaven. We had God in that temple box. All of that seems destroyed. We thought our dynasty from David was forever. For centuries, we thought, we were taught that God had thrown up a shield of protection around the nation of Israel. And you know, some people believe that kind of stuff about America. You hear it once in a while. God has thrown up his shield of protection about America. I don't know where they get it, but they don't get it from the Bible. They dream that stuff up. Ezekiel is shaking the children from sleep. God is not a God of ordinary shelter from storms. Right. once in Ezekiel's people's memory, their sight over the Jerusalem 900 miles away from which they've been exiled. The prophet has absorbed in his person the shock of God's silence. Silence as war, famine, rapine, destruction, and poverty shredded the community and its traditions. And now the prophet is ready. Through an inner spiritual process, the prophet is ready to speak a new word. A word I think he himself does not fully grasp. Only he knows it sounds true. The way a bell can sound true, the way a melody can speak true. No more child's magical wishing for protection. No more denial. No more distance. I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep, says the Lord. But how, dear God? Can't do that by yourself. And suddenly the people, usually some of the people begin to hear this word from Ezekiel inside themselves. It's as if they're waking up from a dream. God needs a body, not just a head, but a body. A moment later, Ezekiel starts to open up the riddle of God's body. This is just a few verses after where I stopped reading. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. I, the Lord, have spoken. But David's been dead for 400 years. Everybody knows that. More than that, everybody knows that the very last heirs to the throne of David, two boys, were murdered in front of their father's eyes just 2 years ago in Jerusalem by the Babylonian guard. Everybody knows that. There's no David descendant. They're all dead. I will set over them my servant David, says the Lord. Who is this? If you have been in the middle of ruin, your ear is more likely to understand what I'm about to say. There, in the middle of the ruin of your marriage, of your business, of your career, of your faith, of your relation to a parent or child, there you are. From that place, did you ever hear a word that gave you life, even though it did not change your situation? Now, not everybody has had this experience, but some of you have. A word that somehow lifted your eye from the smoking ruin of your sorrow. Not to a mere solution. No, something more mystical. Far higher. Lift your eye from the smoking ruin of your sorrow to a new being, to a new way of being. Being no longer just waiting sadly for some good to come back, but being changed somehow inside the ruin, made free at last, at least for a moment. As long, at least as long as this word rang like a bell, your whole soul. Maybe the word was on the lips of your sister, brother. But suddenly the wall of impossibility in your situation seemed to move. Perhaps the word lay there in three lines in a book. Suddenly you were light. Maybe it was a religious word. Maybe it was not. However it was, inside that word, no matter how small it was, you were free. Really, really free. You became an agent, not a patient. You became able to act, not just to watch and wait. A moment like this does not last forever. It never lasts forever. But it puts a question to you, to which you can return forever. The question is, which is truth? The vision of freedom that you had by the word? Or your eye black with smoke and ruin? Which is true? The new being or the old self of sorrows? It becomes the question of your life. Now you may not have suffered like this, and it would be foolish to wish it on anyone, but life is often like this. And you may never have heard a word of life like that. But some of you have. If you have not, I hope you might accept this. Experiences such as we are describing right now, they are the point of religion. Religion is not for children. It is not facts about great things that God once did. It is not dreamy promises of good things yet to come in this life or later. Religion is for God come down now. Among you, in your midst, in the midst of things gone wrong, God come down now. That's what religion is for. Not just me alone, but in a group. A witness together made. When Ezekiel cries out to the afflicted, I, the Lord, I myself will be your shepherd. I will set my servant David over you. And they know that all the descendants of David are dead. This word lifts their eyes from their miserable condition and their greedy misleaders to the possibility of God come down now among them. God already powerful among them, a powerful among them, a growing body to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly. Now in the decades that would follow Ezekiel's oracle, this is a fact. It was on the PBS Nova program. Some of you might have seen that last week about Bible and archaeology. In the decades that would follow Ezekiel's oracle, the religion that we call Judaism finally sprang to life in full flower. No priests, no animal sacrifices, no temple needed. Just free to love and to honor God and all creatures wherever life and death should lead. The religion of Judaism came alive. In a time far distant from that, some Jews saw in Jesus of Nazareth this living spirit of mystical hope, the spirit of David, the good shepherd, the servant of God. They saw it in Jesus. Jesus acting like one who would rule justly and care for them and not cheat them, and they wanted to make him king. To save them. Hosanna, they shouted. You know what it means? Save us now. It's a chant. Save us now. You do it. You save us. Oh, Jesus the King. Sometimes it seems we Christians still want to shout like that. We call this Sunday Christ the King. I suggest to you there's a tension here. It might not go well because we want Him to save us from our sins, save us now. We're waiting, we're patient, we're sad, we're uncertain. But Jesus says, no, I can't do that by myself. Think of the passages. Go in peace, your faith has saved you. Right? Many times He said that to someone. Or, disciples, you give them something to eat. The 5,000. Or, greater works than mine will you do. John's Gospel. Throughout the centuries, Christians have so often wanted not to hear this word. Jesus saying, I can't do this by myself, people. Perhaps today you are hearing the word. Listen to how Jesus took Ezekiel's message. He took it down off the dusty shelf where ears were so tired of hearing what we had just read a little while ago. And He said something new. He said, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, you know the story so well, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. And then the King will say to those at His right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty, gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And then He'll say to those on His left hand, you, cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire. For I was hungry, but you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger. You did not welcome me. Naked, you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, Lord, when was this that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and we didn't come and take care of you? And He will answer them, truly, every time you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I can't do this work by myself, says the Lord Jesus. I need a body. My body is broken for you. I need a body. You will be my body. Rising to guide and to govern this world whenever you have courage for it. You will tend my lambs. You will feed my sheep. You will welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the uninsured, visit the prisons. You will do this. You are the body of Christ. I can't do this by myself. And you, O church, You can't do these things by yourselves either. You can't heal the sick. You can't comfort the afflicted. You can't feed the hungry to finish the job, right? The needs have no end. We can never succeed in this life, to put it kind of bluntly. In fact, we can never simply succeed at anything. That's a strange feature of adult reality, to see that. Thanksgiving dinner will not be perfect. The conversation and the shared love will miss in some ways. Christmas joy will not reflect your perfect memory of it. The musicians, whether in Klein Hands Hall in Buffalo or here, will know that they did something not quite right. Right? We never fully succeed. Isn't that right about music? We never succeed. Bach did not fully succeed in making beautiful music. Jesus, giving up his life in his 30s, lost his career, in a sense, right? He didn't perfect any of the earthly tasks a man or woman might want. This new presidency is not going to restore all life to normal. It is not going to right all injustice. All of our impossibly frail actions, whether personal or public, they do not fully succeed. A mind unprepared for this will drop into futility and despair until she hears a word that lifts her eye from sorrow to an eternal hope. The way Ezekiel spoke, the way Jesus lived and died and is rising still. We can't do anything by ourselves. Oh, maybe the dishes. But that's no fun. Isn't this really amazing? In order to work on things that are really worthwhile, we need infusing into our bodies that spiritual word of everlasting hope, a word like Ezekiel's, the word of God come down now. You live by that word more than you live by bread. And yet God, in order to love on earth at all as it is in heaven, God and God's Christ, God needs a body. God needs you. You just can't do this by yourself.